Moving on to item number four, items for consideration, 4.1. Presentation by Corey Harris, Watershed Service Coordinator, Ganaraska Region Conservation Authority, GRCA. Peter Deshane, Manager of Infrastructure, and Denise Marshall, Director of Public Works, Northumberland County. And I would please ask that the delegation come to the front, or if there's a speaker on behalf of the group, please proceed.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm going to be speaking. To most of the slides, but there are three slides in the deck that the county will speak to. So I wanted to thank council for the opportunity to speak to you tonight, and I guess give an update and an overview of the issue with the Garden Hill Dam. Doesn't seem to be advancing. It's the big one. Okay, there we go. So just a brief outline. I want to give a brief recap of the October 21st presentation to council. Speak about the collaboration between GRCA and the county. I know that was a question that had been raised. Talk about our funding challenges. Touch on the WECI fund. Highlight the initial cost estimates presented previously, and then talk about the new Class EA option. As most folks know, the GRCA constructed the Garden Hill Dam on the North Ganaraska River within Garden Hill in 1959. The structure was part of the reconstruction of County Road 9. The dam outlets within a large box culvert, a 12 by 12 meter box culvert that the county owns. And the original purpose of the structure was to manage flows in the North Ganaraska River, provide recreational opportunities, and provide habitat for wildlife. The conservation area is 54 acres in size, and the reservoir is approximately 38 acres of that 54. I had noted in October that the reservoir is used by the Port Hope Fire Department. There is a dry hydrant there that is off of Mill Street. I think that's common knowledge now. The ownership of the outlet structure is largely owned by the GRCA. We actually own the control building and the actual the stop logs and the gains associated with that. The roadway is owned by the county and managed by the county. The two structures are connected, which makes this an interesting asset to manage. Back in 2023, we received a small amount of funding from the Water and Erosion Control Infrastructure, or WECI fund, to retain a consultant to complete a formal dam inspection and prepare a summary report. That report included a number of recommendations based on the condition of the dam. It helped us assess risk levels of the dam and the potential for component failure. Some of those recommendations applied to GRCA's infrastructure, some applied to the county's culvert. GRCA and the county and county staff have been having discussions since September 2025 to look at how do we coordinate and collaborate on addressing the recommendations from the report. So there was a pretty big shopping list in the report. I'm not going to go through all these items, but it recommended a series of issues that needed to be addressed. There are significant costs associated with addressing these items. And the initial cost estimates were in the ballpark of over $500,000. The last point there, the staging work and material costs, we estimated it originally at $100,000. I've been looking at quotes for that work, and I got a quote last week that was over $300,000. So I reiterated last time that these are high-level costs, and I'd obviously be getting more quotes, but there was a bit of sticker shock with that. So the report also identified these key features that are being impacted that need attention. Just to highlight on the left, there's the wing walls for the as the flow enters the dam. There's concrete that's failing in the joints. There's a pier in the center of the dam that separates the two stop log bays. The concrete is crumbling in those locations, as well as the wall for the control building is deforming. I highlighted in October as well that the stop logs are in rough condition. We've replaced, when we did the drawdown in 2023, we replaced the top seven logs. But the bottom logs are likely original to 1959, 1960. What makes this very challenging, it's not a simple thing to replace the stop logs. We've got to draw down the whole entire reservoir. That was maybe an oversight in the original design. There's no valves we can rely on. There's no other way to isolate the area to get those, to get the water levels down to remove the logs without having an impact on the reservoir. And we've obviously put some thought into, you know, we only would want to draw down the reservoir once to do as much work as needed and avoid and minimize impacts to the reservoir. There is a lot of sediment that's accumulated over the 66 years of the reservoir. There's probably, in all honesty, 160 years of sediment, and in addition to whatever the geese are contributing. But yeah, there would be some need to manage that material. Just to give a sense of the complicated nature of replacing the logs, this is a side view of the dam, the flow directions from the right to the left. And the normal water levels shown there, when we drew down the levels in 2023, we took the seven top logs out. And for us to get a repair done, we're looking at drawing everything down right to the bottom to mitigate impacts to the reservoir and the aquatic life within the reservoir. We'd have to install a cofferdam, pump flows over and around the cofferdam, and dewater a work area. So I'm going to pass it over to my colleagues at the county, let them speak to a few slides.
Thank you, Corey, and thank you, Your Worship. It's a pleasure to be here tonight and just talk about the county's asset, which is the culvert that Corey had mentioned before. Corey already touched on the collaboration that we've done to date since September of 25 and working together to explore different options to rehabilitate both the dam and the culvert. And by working together, there'd be significant cost savings achieved through all the processes, engineering design, construction, for mob and demobilization costs, dewatering, and traffic control. Oop, wrong way. So what is the county doing this year moving forward? So in 2025, the county had set aside $50,000 for design and tender for the culvert rehabilitation. In 2026, the budget includes $1 million for the rehabilitation. And we're currently planning to move forward with a geotechnical investigation that will support both the design for the culvert and the dam. And we're also planning to move ahead with a structural assessment that would include a detailed defect mapping, concrete coring, etc. And that will also support the design of the culvert rehabilitation. I'm sure most of you probably are aware, but just wanted to highlight how the funding arrangement works. So historically, what's in place now has been in place for decades to our knowledge, and that's where the municipality and the province fund GRCA. Also, I'm sure you're all aware that both the county and member municipalities have separate budgets for their assets and services that they provide, and that member municipalities collect a local and county portions of property taxes, and then that's transferred to the county quarterly. And I'll turn it back.
Thanks, Peter. So in my October presentation, you saw a version of this graph, and I've expanded it just to paint a picture of some of our funding challenges at GRCA. Originally, when the Conservation Authority was set up in 1946, the funding arrangement with the municipalities and the province was roughly 50-50. That was a kind of a founding principle of the conservation authorities. 1995 came along, and there was a major turning point brought forward under the Red Tape Reduction Act, where the conservation authorities' funding was drastically reduced from approximately $50 million province-wide to just around $8 million. This cut forced a fundamental change in the CA's funding model and significantly impacted the CA's ability to fund maintenance of infrastructure. These costs were essentially downloaded and the burden was transferred to the municipalities. So when you look at the 1995-96 provincial cuts of 80%, that brought our provincial budget down to about $103,000 a year. There were additional cuts of 50% that occurred in 2019. So our provincial funding now is $51,863 annually. So not a lot you can do with the dam with $51,000. So that's just a reality. I'm not saying anything political. It's just a financial reality and where we're at. When you look at how the authority's funded, you can see in blue there's the provincial funds, municipal levies in green. Other funding like self-generated funding is in the dark blue. And I put the consumer price index on there just to show how things compare with inflation. If you look at the Conservation Authority's budget by percentage, 100% is at the top. The municipal levies in green is roughly 35% on average, but it ranges from 25 to 50%. So it's clear the municipalities have been our faithful partner over the life of the authority. When you look at the provincial funding in blue, those 1995-96 cuts really show up. And you can just see how that provincial funding piece is almost gone. Less than 1% of our budget is provincial dollars. The average for conservation authorities in Ontario is roughly 3%. I think most people aren't aware of that. It's important to point out that's why I'm before you asking for support. Because of those cuts, the province started the WECI program, the Water and Erosion Control Infrastructure Program. So that was started in 2003, and it was intended to be a capital cost share program with municipalities to provide matching funding to conservation authorities for major maintenance or related studies. And you notice it's a cost share program with municipalities, not conservation authorities, because we didn't have resources to put into that. So it was, I think, made to adjust or adapt to this new reality. There's roughly 900 dams and flood control channels in Ontario, which are valued at around $4 billion. And each year, the 36 conservation authorities compete for those $5 million. So if you're successful in that application process, the 50% of funds from your local municipality is matched with 50% from the province. So back in October, I presented a couple options to council. We've already kind of seen this, but I just wanted to reiterate. So this estimate was for dam repairs. These numbers came out of the discussions between the county and the consultant. Estimated cost for the work for repairs in the ballpark of $700,000 when you look at all things combined. So that would be shared 50-50 with the municipality and the province through the WECI funding. As mentioned earlier by Peter, the county will be moving ahead with the geotechnical investigation of the road embankment this year and exploring design solutions for the culvert. The second option I presented in October was for potential decommissioning. And this is where we suggested looking at a Class EA to look at decommissioning options. When you look at the total cost of this approach, we're in the ballpark of $650,000, also shared 50-50 with the municipality and the WECI program. So a third option was recently brought forward for discussion, which is different than the previous EA option. This is not an EA just looking at decommissioning. It's an EA looking at a full suite of issues. One of the reasons this was brought forward is that when council was considering the two previous options of repair or decommissioning, there were concerns expressed that deciding between the two options without community consultation is a problem. To address this concern, GRCA presented this option that a WECI application be submitted to look at the various options between do nothing, repair, maybe repair with a bottom draw, decommission with stream rehabilitation, or decommission with various other mitigation options to mitigate the loss of the habitat of the within the pond and the reservoir, create other features in those areas to mitigate also the loss of the dry hydrant. I should have put a slide in the presentation tonight to give an overview of a Class EA process, but it is a very reliable and robust process. It's intended to help proponents evaluate potential environmental impacts, deal with issues in the categories of natural, social, economic, cultural, and built impacts before proceeding with a preferred option. It involves public consultation, assessment of alternatives, mitigation planning, and then selecting a preferred alternative out of that. So I want to be clear that this EA option isn't focused on just decommissioning. We would very much like to keep the repair option in that process. And I think that's something that's not coming through in some of this, the discussion. And I want to be very clear that GRCA does not have a preference as to which way to go on this. We're neutral. We would follow the guidance provided by the EA process. I should just highlight a couple things quickly too, that there was reference to a purchase agreement. We've been able to find the deed for the purchase of the conservation area property. It does not include the clauses or items that were referenced in the purchase agreement. So I just want to clarify that point. And also just when it comes to groundwater impacts, I think there needs to be some more discussion on what are the actual impacts of the reservoir, like how significant is that on adjacent wells. We have a monitoring well, a provincial monitoring well, right in the conservation area. And when we drew the water level down, when the boards came out in 2023, that dropped the water level by about 1.4 meters. And our monitoring well only dropped by about 5 centimeters. So we know there's a connection, but we don't know the sensitivity of that connection and how that would affect other people's properties. That would be an issue that we would look at closely in an EA process and make sure that mitigation of those impacts are fully considered with any option being brought forward. So just in summary, I'd want to make it clear that the position of the GRCA is that the Class EA process is the best path forward, as the technical data, information, public engagement, and input will chart the best path forward, one that is reviewing and assessing environmental, economic, cultural, and community considerations. I should also highlight, we've been contacted by the Mississaugas of Scugog Island First Nation. They have expressed an interest in considering decommissioning. So it's put us in a position where we value the input of the Garden Hill residents, but we also value the input of our Indigenous partners. So it's very difficult to make a decision without a proper process. So with that, I'll wrap up. Thank you.